Hoskins, pastor at Dallas Primitive Baptist Church, but that's not Dallas, Texas. That's Dallas, Georgia. So I know he stands in need of your prayers. And so, Brother Marty, you're weak. May the Lord bless you, brother.
Several years ago, when we were working on the building at Dallas, I got a phone call from a gentleman who told me he had driven by our church. He had looked us up on the internet, and he wanted to talk to me as the pastor of that church about what we believed. So, being the suspicious soul that I am in some ways, I got a little concerned about meeting with somebody that I'd never met in a dark church building. You know, never know what's going to happen these days. Lack of faith on my part, I guess, but call it whatever it is. So I figured, I knew some brethren were going to be working at the church on a particular day one evening, so I made arrangements for this brother to meet me at 6:30 in the evening at the Dallas church building, the new church building that we were working on. And so I showed up there at 6:30, and there were some brethren working around doing some different things, so I was pretty comfortable. And 6:30 came, and nobody was there. 6:35 came, and no one had arrived. Now I'm starting to wonder, should I call him? 6:40 comes, I'm really wondering. 6:45, I'm calling him. So I dialed the guy back on my phone, and he answers the phone. I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Oh, yes, Brother Martin." He says, I said, "Well, are you still planning to meet this evening?" He says, "Absolutely." I said, "What time?" He said, "Well, 6:30. I said, "Well, it's 6:45. And he said, "No, it's not. It's 5:45. I thought,
"He's in Alabama."
No. He was in Dallas.
Oh,
Dallas, Texas. Yeah. Yeah. But see, the problem was, I'm not as quick as Brother Jonathan. I thought that maybe he had moved here from Central Time and just hadn't changed his watch. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to tell him he's wrong without upsetting him.
Right.
And it finally dawned on me, and I said, "So let me ask you something." I said, "Where are you?" And he goes, "Dallas." I said, "I know this is going to sound weird." I said, "Well, what state?" And he said, "Texas." So yes, that does happen from time to time. I said, "The problem is the church you found on the internet, Dallas Primitive Baptist Church, is in Dallas, Georgia." So we've made it a point to put it on our website up front and as big as we can that this is Dallas, Georgia, not Dallas, Texas. It's ironic historically that people moved from Georgia to Texas. Within the few miles of where I live, we have a Waco in that part of Georgia, and they carried the names with them. So I always try to tell the folks in Dallas, Texas that we were first. So that's just kind of the way. They may be bigger, but we were first. That's kind of the way it goes. Proverbs chapter 11. I had something else on my mind, and I've kind of changed gears. One, because I think it's of the Lord. Two, I don't think I could have given the other justice in a short period of time, so we're going to keep this as short as we can. I'd like to hear these other brethren preach. It's good to see a lot of brethren here that I haven't seen in a long time. I told somebody earlier that this is the most preachers I've seen in one place in a long time, and I am thankful for that. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15. "He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure."
Yes, sir.
Now, I know there's a real practical lesson here from a financial standpoint, and my father may have in some ways violated this lesson at one time, because when me and my wife first got married, both of us had car wrecks within a few weeks of the wedding. She's quick to remind me that mine was my fault, hers was not. I'm quick to remind her that her car was totaled and they gave her a cash payout, so I married her for her money. We neither one had a car. We actually had to rent a car to even go on our honeymoon after the wedding was over. And as a result of that, we needed to buy a car. And my father actually went with us to a dealership, found us a car. Turned out to be a lemon, but that's neither here nor there. He helped us buy that car. He co-signed on the loan. That's a surety ship. He stood surety for us. Because I'll be honest with you. If Tawana and I had stopped making the payments, they wouldn't have come after us. We were poor. We were young, married, living in Atlanta, Georgia, where the cost of living was five times anything we'd ever seen in our life, living well below the poverty level of that day. The person they would have come after was my dad. Because he had a job. I was a student. They paid me to go to school, but I got news for you. They don't pay students a lot. But that's not what I want to talk about. I think there's a spiritual lesson here as well.
Sure.
And I pray that I'm not running this too far or making this way too spiritualized than it should be. But I'd like to talk about this. Man, notice what he says here in this particular verse. He says, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. I'll be honest, the doctrine of surety that's taught throughout Scripture is not something I hear a whole lot about these days. I will tell you that growing up as a boy in the mountains, this was a very common theme of mountain theology, suretyship. I didn't go very many Sundays when I was being drugged from church to church in those mountains. And yes, I had a drug problem. I was drugged from church to church to church. My dad was a big man. I didn't argue. 6'6", 300 pounds at times. I was 145 pounds soaking wet. So when he said, let's go, you just went. Kind of the way it was in my house. I didn't outsize my children by quite that, but it was kind of that way with us. You didn't ask about church. If we were going, we just went. People went with us. The kids went with us. Of my children that aren't married, they're all here tonight. You know, she's here by choice. She's an adult. But we heard a lot about suretyship. It wasn't very many Sundays I would go without some preacher getting up talking about how Jesus stood surety for us. And you do realize that the Bible says that Jesus stood surety for us. I'm not going to go to all those scriptures. You can look them up because this is an easy one. Everybody's got computers. Everybody's got one of these little fast phone things. It's got a Bible app on it. And all you have to do is type the word surety into your Bible app, and you'll find out there's not a whole lot of verses out there. You'll find every reference within a short period of time. I don't need to sit here and flip from scripture to scripture and read them to you tonight. But I can tell you this. The Bible says that Jesus is our surety. Here's the interesting thing. He did not violate Proverbs 11:15.
No, sir. He fulfilled it.
Notice it says, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. Jesus stood surety for strangers. Now, I am thankful tonight that I can tell you that we didn't remain strangers for very long. Because he stood surety for us, those that were once strangers are now friends. He claims us as our elder brother. He claims us not only as friends, but as family. But he did stand surety for strangers. We hold dear the doctrine of depravity, which is one of the strangest things that the world can ever imagine, that people would actually gather together and rejoice over the doctrine of depravity. Why do we hold the doctrine of depravity so dear? I mean, people look at it and they say, well, you're telling people they're no better than dead dogs, that they're nasty, that they're undone, that they're sinners to the core. Why do we hold it so dear? It's because when you paint the picture of sovereign grace and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, on the backdrop of the blackness of our soul, it shines forth like nothing you've ever seen. If you paint humanity as something that's not so bad, and then you try to paint over that with something that's pretty good, it doesn't shine nearly as bright as painting that white dot on the middle of a black and darkened canvas that is the depravity of our heart. I'm telling you today that we are an undone people, and Jesus Christ saw us, even though in many ways we were strangers unto him. He stood surety for us. What does it mean to stand surety? It means that he did just what my father did. He put his name on the line. And if there was a problem, I'm telling you, God wasn't coming to us for payment. Why? Because just like me, when I was trying to drive away in that little car as a student, there was no reason for the creditor to come to me and my wife to get payment. They were wasting their their time. No, God knew where he could get payment and justice for what had been done. There was only one place he could find that, and that was in the person of his own son. Oh, I'm telling you, the scripture tells me today that Jesus Christ stood for us, and he stood for us alone. Oh, God looked, and there was none to help. The Bible says he looked above the earth and it was not there. He looked beneath and it was not there. Well, in the end, his own right arm brought salvation unto him. Oh, we stand here today and in the love and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he stood surety for us. He didn't violate the scripture. This scripture says, he that standeth surety for a stranger shall smart for it. No, Jesus did exactly what this scripture said and then accepted the consequences of it. Oh, they asked him as he was going to the cross, who are you? Are you a king? Oh, you say? Are you the blessed of the Father? I am. And you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory. Oh, he begins to quote scriptures from all the way back in Daniel. Oh, he's willing. He never complains. He goes to the cross dumb as a lamb to the slaughter, fully accepting the consequences for the actions of us. Amen. He put his name on that contract. Therefore was willing to pay the price. The price was the cross. The price was the humiliation of being hung upon a tree. The price was the wrath of God himself. And he took that for you and I. Why? Because he loved us. He that standeth surety for a stranger shall smart for it. And he surely did. He took that pain and that agony. And he bore our sins. Jesus is our surety. May we praise him for that. May God bless you is my prayer. Amen.